Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. Today we have a great guest. We're talking to Bloodshot. Now, you guys might know him from some of his map work that he's been doing over the past couple of years. A lot of his maps have been very cool, and we talked to him about sort of his approach to mapping. In addition to that, we also talk about some of the other mods he's worked on, and of course, the very controversially named Quake 1.5. Grab your rocket launcher, jump in the slipgate, and let's do this.
So he was kind of just like I was like, what, like maybe 7 or 8, I think. And like, he just like, he had like games like Quake and Doom and all that stuff as they came out. I mean, I was a little older than Quake, I guess. So by the time I was playing Quake, like a bunch of other games were out too. And like, so I played like Doom, Quake, and Unreal and Half-Life all at the same time. Wow. And I remember my dad, like, he was like, oh, this is how you load a mod. And he was showing me through DOS, like, how to do the space dash game, space, whatever mod you wanted to load and all that stuff. And, like, I just, like, remember memorizing every single thing, because for some reason, like, even though I loved all those other games, like, for some reason, like, Quake, especially, just, like, especially as a kid, which, I mean, I probably shouldn't have been playing it as a kid, but, like, it felt like, it didn't feel like a game to me. Like, it felt like it was just, like, the monitor was like a window into like an alternate world. And it just, like, I don't know, it really just sucked me in.
Yeah, I think that's the case with everybody. I mean, it has such deep atmosphere, you know, you can't help but get sucked in like that. Especially when you're 8, you know, that's such a imaginative time, and your brain is like growing and and going new places. It obviously swept you up.
Actually, even in jumping off that, like, when I was a kid I couldn't play the game with the soundtrack, because when I loaded up the game and I heard the screaming, it scared me, so I would just immediately turn off the music.
That's awesome.
I'm so glad that someone else has said something like this, because I talk about these things like Doom and Quake scaring me when I was younger, and I feel like no one relates. They're just like, oh no, I played Quake and I was so hardcore, I played through it 6 times a day, and you know, I love Lovecraft. I always have since I was out of the womb. And I'm like, okay, sure. but I too was scared of things like, you know, Doom soundtrack and stuff like that. So I can relate.
Yeah, no, I mean, Doom, like, not as much, because, well, also by the time, like, playing Quake and Doom at the same time, like, Doom was a little more cartoony, and it also had like a lot more upbeat tracks than Quake did. So it's like, sometimes like the dark levels, I'd get scared, but Quake was just like even without the music, it was just like it would take me a while. I would play with cheats most of the time too, because I would be too scared to progress sometimes. So I would just like type in God and Impulse 9 and just go crazy.
That's awesome.
I think
though,
that's a totally valid way to play, in my opinion, sometimes, because you just like, you don't feel like it, or you're just kind of like, in fact, when I was playing your mod just a few minutes ago, I was like, this, oh, oops, we're going to have to go.
I have to bleep already.
I'm sorry. And so I tried God mode, and I'm like, oh, it's dark places, I got to restart it and stuff.
Oh yeah. So,
but anyway, yeah, I think that's a valid way to play the game. Some, just depending on your mood and you know, if you're frustrated, there's no reason to be frustrated playing games. You just have fun. You know, that's the main thing. Well, tell us how you got into modding. Was it later down the line, or did you start at an early age?
Well, when you say modding, are you including mapping as well, or just purely like modding?
Yeah, like, mapping and modding.
I guess they're both the same thing. But for some reason, when I think of modding, I think of like doing like, you know, code mods and stuff like that. But
right.
But yeah, like actually also related to Quake directly, even though Quake, like, I didn't make anything for it that like I released ever back then. But like my first mod was probably when I was like 11, because my brother was making like maps, and I can't remember, maybe it was Deathmatch Maker, I think. And like I didn't see him make the level. Oh yeah, and then like then he switched to Quark, which was like, it looked so much better to me than Deathmatch Maker, and I saw him making these maps, and then he had me play some of them, and like I was just like, oh, you gotta teach me how to do this. And I remember being like so excited that I woke up my dad one night, and he told me like, and it annoyed him because he had to get up early, so he's like, you're not allowed to make a map. And I was just like, I was so sad at that time. I mean, it's pretty funny looking back, but it was just like, I mean, he still let me make a map anyway. Like, he didn't care. He just said that because I was, you know, waking him up, like, I think it was like 2 a.m. because I couldn't sleep.
So, Bloodshot, sounds like you've been making maps since you were much younger, though, because from what I could tell, when I look up your name to look at Quake maps, it seems like only recently you've been releasing maps for jams and stuff like that, but it sounds like you've actually been involved for much longer than that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, like, it was kind of like I learned how to make a few, and then I stopped because I didn't really know what to do. And so, like, there was, like, a long period where I just would play Quake maps when I was a kid, and I kind of stopped. But when I was in high school, I tried to do something again because I'm like, oh, I can make something cool maybe. And, you know, like, I saw the whole Quoth mod, and I was just so, like, I thought that was so cool with all the things it added. So I started, making a map for that. And I never released it, but I was taking a 3D art class at the time in high school. And, like, it was, like, the second class of that. So my teacher was really chill. And he's like, oh, yeah, if you have any ideas for a final project you want to do, just let me know. And it had nothing to do with it, but I was like, can I work on a Quake map? It's kind of like modeling. And he's like, yeah, go for it. I don't even
that's
know what
awesome.
Quake is, but
yeah, that's cool.
Coolest teacher ever, right?
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's great.
I remember like showing him the project, and he seemed simultaneously really impressed that I made it, but it literally took like half the time he was supposed to like be grading it. He was just asking me questions about what he was even looking at.
Well, that's Shub over there. This big white Yeti thing, that's called a Shambler.
You have only released kind of four maps in kind of the last year or so. Did you, I know you worked on some other games. So when did you kind of get back in mapping earnest this most recent stretch?
I'd say like I kind of got into it for real when Trench Broom came around, because like that was the big problem, I think, was I was using Quark for all the other stuff, which is like, especially,
ooh,
you know, like at that, like this is, I'm talking like what, like 2010 or something like that, when I was still using Quark, which is like, Quark is really, does not run well on modern machines when you get a big map,
right?
So it's kind of like I would get to a certain point where I couldn't even work on the map anyway, because it would take, like, you would click on a brush or something like that, and it would take 5 minutes for the screen to even pop up.
Wow.
When your map was too big. But I'd say like when I really started doing it and with the actual aim of releasing something was when that Egyptian retro jam came around, because like I just really found the theme interesting. I'm like, well, this is a good opportunity to, you know, actually release something and get feedback, because, you know, especially because I'd never done it before, it's like also a little less pressure because there's a bunch of people doing it at the same time too.
That's funny, because that was definitely my first jam I ever took part in, and I had come back after a long absence, and I had never really released anything official, you know, especially not single player. No. So that was like my first release of a single player, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was my first single player map. I did a couple deathmatch ones, you know, when I discovered Trench Broom. So that's cool. And I remember yours. I was like, is it that one with the big pyramid? And sure enough, I went back to check. I'm like, yeah, that's the one. I remember it was a solid map. And you've had you're the only guest on the show that I've played 100% of your, pretty much 100% of your maps, except for maybe some of the stuff in Quake 1.5, but we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, I went back through, and RC and I were talking earlier. We went back through and reviewed all the maps, and you know, you have just a really solid body of work, just even in those four maps. So congratulations on all that success. It's really, really stunning, especially Underwater Jam. That just blew my mind.
Thank you.
For me, it was the Xmas Jam one, the recent one. I thought that was really, really good.
Thanks.
And it was on theme.
That's right.
That's funny, because those two are my favorites that I worked on, too.
Well, oh, nice.
It shows. Yeah, I mean, it shows in your work, too. I mean, and let me ask you a question about the Underwater and Christmas Jam. How long did those maps take? Because that Underwater Jam map is pretty complex. I mean, it's... You start out as in a base, you've got a pretty fairly significant base section, you've got all the underwater stuff. Then you go to this kind of sunken temple. How long did that take you to make that thing?
That took me, well, I mean, it definitely took me the whole deadline, especially like, I think it wasn't too bad though, because it's like most of the detail, especially in the sunken part, is like kind of, like you model it once and you could copy paste it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped out a lot, because it's like, you know, prefabs kind of. But yeah, just like, I think the longest part was ironically the scripting for that submarine, because that took so many recompiles just to get the pathing of the door and the sub to match up properly, and like the sounds and the particles and everything.
Yeah, it paid off though. I mean, it was pretty stellar. I remember playing that map in Mark V, and I had some technical issues because I guess Mark V handles sprites differently. So there was a lot of slowdown. So I actually had to go back and replay your map again in Quake Spasm, which was a joy. So I'm like, I'll just play it again, as opposed to trying with messing around with the save file and everything. So yeah, pretty solid work. And then Christmas Jam, you know, with all those frozen, that was the one with the frozen monsters down below, correct?
Yeah.
In the cave. Yeah. So creative. Such cool stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. The Xmas Jam one for me, like, and this speaks to the underwater one too. And I think, you know, a few people in the community, we talked about this before, sort of put their, you know, their stink on their maps. You know, you could tell it's something that they created, and you definitely have that approach with your maps. Like if you played it, you're definitely like, oh yeah, this is totally a Bloodshot map, because you sort of, and I don't know if you do this consciously, you can talk to this afterwards, but it seems like you like to create like an adventure in your map. Like you start at one point, and by the time you get to, you know, from point A to point B, once you get to point B, it's like you just went through this like crazy cool adventure. So is that sort of like a conscious decision? Like how do you approach the design of that?
Well, actually that I'd say it's like, it's definitely a conscious decision, because aside from Quake, some of my favorite games are Unreal and Half-Life 1. And also like even like the Hexen games, like, I mean, they're pretty flawed. A lot of people would agree, but like I've just always loved them. And I just really like that feeling of like I don't know, like that's like part of the reason I like Quake as well in the first place. And like I have a hard time replaying Quake 2, because it's like everywhere feels like this different place. So I kind of have this like thing in my head where it's like I like to base my maps like around a specific like theme or like a set piece, where it's like, you know, how can I keep someone interested in this through the whole map, instead of, you know, like relying purely on like maybe just gameplay encounters, or, you know, like architecture that looks like a certain way throughout the whole map. It's kind of like, it's kind of hard to describe, because it's like sometimes I just kind of think of something and it works, but other times it's like I literally can't think of anything, which is why like I won't join a, like, you know, a jam or something like that. Because, like, I'll want to, but then if I sit down and I start, like, you know, trying to think up something, I'm just completely drawing blank. So I'm like, maybe next time.
Now, do you script out on paper? Now, I mean script out your, like, the storyline or the kind of the through line of what the player will experience, or do you map it out on graph paper and just kind of annotate it, or what's your process there? Because I think any kind of new mapper should really look at your stuff, because it, and we'll get to the Hexen thing in a minute, but there's a clear story that you're telling, definitely an Underwater Jam and Christmas Jam. It's been a while since I played through it. So tell me that process.
Well, that's actually kind of interesting, because I only recently started like planning like that type of stuff out. Like, I think the Christmas Jam was the first one I actually do it, because the other ones, it's like, I mean, it's mostly like I do plan it out, but like with the other maps I've made, it's mostly I have an idea in my head and then I start like prototyping a map, like in the editor. Like Christmas Jam, I had to sit down and plan that out because I'd never made like a map in that small box before. So I literally had no idea how I would even like, you know, construct that and make a, and like an idea around having such a small map. But like with, for instance, the Retro Jam, like I'm like, oh, Egyptian, like, you know, like the first thing that came to mind is like, you know, the Great Pyramids. So I'm like, well, what if I have something like that kind of, and kind of go for like an Indiana Jones vibe type thing. And then I just started prototyping some like trap ideas and some like just visual ideas. And then from there, I started like thinking about the layout after I had like the main like things I wanted the player to see. Like after I had those in place, then I started like just developing the layout from there and branching out.
Cool. So are you talking about that kind of a funky kind of rectangular room where the, yeah, this real narrow, almost like an elevator that kind of comes up? Is that one of those places that you would have done the set piece there? Because that was a real striking little area, and to get this, I think it was a silver key in that map.
Yeah,
remember what I'm talking about?
I do, actually. At first, I wasn't sure if you were talking about the first room where you fall down or that one. But,
yeah, that's cool too.
Yeah, that was kind of. I think I had like, I don't know. I thought of like. I started off with like, I like water and I like an obelisk. Like, why not put them together? And then I started thinking of that healing pool in episode 4. Quake, and I'm like, well, what if we have another, like, what if I have like another mystical pool, or like, you know, Sox map, what was it, a Death by a Thousand Cuts, I think, which had the actual functioning healing pools instead of having, you know, just health kits underneath a, you know, the water surface. But
right,
yeah, so I'm like, well, you know, they already have a healing pool in Quake, what if I have, you know, something that like it's the opposite of the healing pool, because it literally like things get angry just from you touching the pool.
Cool. So how did you, let's talk about, is it Shadow of Chaos? I just completely had a brain fart.
Shadows of Chaos, but pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, God. It's, start that over.
It's a pretty Shadows. Generic name, so I,
yeah. Shadows of Chaos for Hexen 2. So now I, when you had messaged me your bio, I got really excited because I remembered that thing. You're like, oh, I didn't know anybody knew about that thing. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure I know what it is. And it was something that I had played, and I got stuck in that library, by the way, and that effing library. And so I had never finished it. So I believe it was Friday night I loaded up the mod and I jammed through, and I got stuck in the library again, but I persevered. I found all the switches that you need to do, but that was a blast. And so I can see that kind of storytelling that you do in your other levels and your Quake levels in Shadows of Chaos. So if there's any fans out there listening and want to have a kind of a treat and you haven't played this thing, you really should go play it, especially Hexen fans, Hexen 2 fans. And it gets a little rough at the very ending, I'll just say that. I don't want to spoil anything. But it's a solid piece of work.
Thank you.
So tell us about the genesis of that and how that kind of came about.
Well, that actually came from Hexen 2 is also one of my favorite games, and I know it's pretty heavily flawed, because mostly because of the puzzles, and a lot of people don't like the future hubs after like the first one. But I don't know. I think I have a soft spot for that, especially because unlike Hexen 1, the puzzles weren't just switch hunts, or like, you know, purely like they have like a couple of non-switch hunts in Hexen 1, but most of it's like, oh, press this switch and 1/5 of the puzzle is solved. Like, I always liked how Hexen 2 had items that were linked to the game itself thematically and like had a story purpose almost, even though you never knew it all the time. But like part of my reason for making that was that Portal of Pravis is like the thing, like when you look at reviews, for instance, for Hexen 2, it got like okay reviews, but then Portal of Pravis always gets good reviews, but you can't find it anywhere. And it seems like barely anyone played it. So it's like I kind of wanted to make something for Hexen 2 that it's like it doesn't have the intense problems with, like, you know, super complex puzzles that Hexen 2 had. Because I think there's like being based on Quake, it has a pretty fun base already. Like the combat's pretty fun. I think I like the weapons, and especially like when you power them up. And it's just like I wanted to see if I could expand on Hexen 2 in a meaningful way. And the other reason was because I played Hexen 2 in co-op with my friend, and I wanted to make something new for it that we could play in co-op.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's ironic that you say that, because I played Hexen 2 back when it came out. I don't know if I doubt I finished it. I'm pretty sure I didn't finish, but I might have. I don't know. The Four Horsemen, it's kind of rings a bell. So, but the thing was, I've never played Pravis before. I've always wanted it, and I've looked for it. And when you were saying that earlier, I'm just kind of chuckling to myself. I have it somewhere, an extended evaluation edition, so on one of my hard drives, but I literally could not find it the other day. I did have, you know, my install of just the vanilla game with Hammer of Therion installed. And so I re-downloaded your mod because it's a new computer, and fired it up. But the thing is, I don't know what you added to it, because it's been so long since I've had a really significant playthrough of the game. So what are some of the things that you added to that mod?
Well, with that mod, it was actually based on somebody made an RPG mod for Hexen 2 in 2016, which was like, I saw that, and that kind of also inspired me to make it in the first place too, because I'm like, oh wow, somebody actually made a Hexen 2 mod, what year is this? But yeah, and I really liked like the little RPG additions he added, so I'm like, well, what if I took that and just like expanded on it? So it's like Hexen 2 base game did not have alt fires. It had Tome of Power, which are they're technically alt fires, but it didn't have the alt fire button with, you know, like the extra attacks. And Hexen, the mod added some of those, and I changed like a bunch of them because like I didn't like some of them that he put in his mod. And I added like I just added new enemies, like that new foot soldier enemy, which is kind of like, because I always felt like Hexen 2 had too many spiders and the base enemy has too much health. So it's like, you know, it's like the whole, like, there's no like grunt type enemy, or like
those are the guys with the kind of the horned helmets that kind of rush at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are great. Those are fun.
That guy was actually made from, I ripped one of the horseman models right off his horse and reanimated him.
Cool.
Which was a pain because I didn't really know you could, not do it frame by frame. So I literally did it by hand, and as a result, it's like it took me forever, and it kind of looks like he's squatting because it's still based on that sitting animation.
he's got an urgent issue he's got to take care of, right? No, it's fun, you know. It's RC, you really should fire that up and play it, because it's a manageable amount of time. I'm pretty horrible. So, I mean, I played through it probably a little over an hour, but in the readme, I think if I recall correctly, I just took a half an hour to get through this thing, but it was fun. It was a blast. I mean, I did it from A to Z, and just the combat in the end, I kept having to, you know, quick start and stuff, but I was just sucking. But yeah, it was very cool. And I played as the assassin, so I kind of want to go back through and play the other classes. That's the cool thing about Hexen 2 is you can kind of change your style a little bit, you know, change it up a little bit. I think it's an underrated game. I kind of agree with you. More people, it'd be great to have more content for it, but then you have to kind of talk people into playing it, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, actually, I was just happy to see, I saw somebody else making a Hexen 2 mod, and he actually put it on ModDB, and it looks like it has really nice level design. So I'm just like, well, if I, and he messaged me asking me questions about like how to do certain things for Hexen 2. So I'm like, well, if someone else is doing it because they saw my mod, then I'm happy. Like that means I at least get one new map.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
So Bloodshot, in addition to Hexen 2 work and Quake work, you've also worked on other games like Duke Nukem and Unreal Tournament 2004. You want to touch on some of this work you did for those as well?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like the Duke Nukem one was actually, it's actually a Half-Life mod that was supposed to make it into Duke Nukem. And like it kind of got canceled. I was like a modeler for that. And I put some of the stuff I did on my art station actually, because I just found like half the models I did for that project. So I figured might as well upload them because, you know, I'm not using them. But, that was like, that was, I think, like 2015. And it basically, like, it had quite a few people from Duke 4 who were going to jump in and work on it. But we kind of stopped because we kind of got scared that Gearbox was going to come shut us down. And I think the creator said that he got something from Gearbox. I don't think it was a cease and desist, but it might have been a warning. So we were like, before we get too deep into it, or like, okay, guys, let's not, you know, get in trouble legally.
But, oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I understand it's, you know, they gotta, like, you know, it's better if they actually protect their IP, because I think it's like it sets a precedent if they don't or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And but, also, I think it has to do with characters. Like, it's a little different when it's something like Quake that has more facets to it, as opposed to, you know, the Duke Nukem character is such a valuable piece of the IP. I think that might be part of one of the reasons why they do this kind of stuff. But you're right, you know, they can't. I mean, some companies are different than others, you know, more open and supportive of communities, but. This is how it goes.
That's true. I mean, like, I appreciate when they're open with that stuff, but honestly, I probably should have seen that coming myself as well, because like there have been plenty of projects that have been shut down for Duke Nukem, like, and it was always that way too. Like, you know, like before Gearbox was in the picture, 3D Realms did the same thing, which, I mean, I guess I'm now a part of, so I should say my company did the same thing, but yeah, because it's like, especially if you're going to make something with it, you don't want to, like, you want to avoid possible, like, I guess, negative press with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm not really sure because I'm not a businessman. So, like, that's just my take on it. But what do I know?
Well, I'm looking at the models you did for that Half-Life thing, and it's sad because they look really great.
Right.
The weapon models are great, but you know, you have that I can't remember the creature's name, but the big brain creature with three eyes. Some really cool stuff. Octobrain, that's right. Pretty cool stuff. So we'll have all these links so people can look at your work and download your maps as well, just so, you know, audience service there.
Yeah, and jumping from the Duke Nukem thing, so what did you work on for Unreal? I'm interested in hearing about that too.
Well, that was basically I love Unreal and I also love Unreal Tournament, but I always hated the weapons in 2004, but I liked how they added vehicles. And then I think I started modeling I modeled the pistol, I think, and somebody got in contact with me after I did that because he saw it, and basically talking about starting a mod to remake the weapons from Unreal Tournament 99 in the newer game. And I was like, like, why not? Like, you know, I never saw, like, there was only like one mod that did that, and they just ported the weapons. So it's like, that's not a remake of the weapons. It doesn't even fit. But like, yeah, we just kind of like, he was an animator, and he also had a coder, because I think they worked on like the, maybe I think they worked on the ballistic weapons mod for Unreal Tournament 2004, which was also a really good mod.
Okay.
If anyone plays that. But yeah, so we kind of just got together, and I modeled them and textured them. And I think his name was Blade Sword. I could be wrong because it was a long time ago, but he animated them, and somebody else coded them and like basically replicated the classic game functionality. So it's pretty much, if you wanted to play, like, you know, the Onslaught from UT 2004 with all the vehicles and like you know, it's like a Battlefield type large scale mode, but with the mm-hmm. weapons from the original game. Now there's like a little mini mod, so you could do that.
Nice. That's very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. It kind of set the precedence for that, which is pretty awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, there's so much to talk about with Quake 1.5, and I got to say, this is going to be a kind of a philosophical kind of a question here, or just an observation, really. You know, I've not a huge fan of Dark Places for a couple of reasons, mainly because of when I was working on my first kind of proper single player release. It was kind of a long-term thing, and I kept testing it in all the different engines, and I didn't, you know, I hadn't really messed with Dark Places too much, and I'd go in, and I have had jumping puzzles and things, and it just did not play. It did not feel like my map, and it was, so that really turned me off to the engine just from a mapping perspective. And then I've also never been a huge fan of high def packs and things like that. So it was like instant, like knee-jerk reaction when I saw Quake 1.5. Your trailer was really cool, by the way, and I think that's a lesson for anybody that's doing a mod and wants some attention. I'm telling you right now, video is king. It really helps out, you know, instantly sell your, you know, your product, basically. So I was intrigued by it, and of course it was RC. I was watching him and he played through, and I'm like, oh, I have to play it now. Cause there were so many things I didn't know about. You know, I think as content creators, we just assume people are going to kind of just know everything right off the bat. And you'd be surprised how much people didn't get about that thing. So like I said, watched RC play, and that turned me on to, and then I played it and I tried it and I loved it. I thought it was great. So I think with what I'm getting at is, how do you, like, what's your reaction to some of the kind of Quake dad, grumpy old men in the community who are just like completely dismissing it out of hand, you know, cause that's what's happening. I mean, I was guilty of that, to be honest with you. So what's your take on that?
Well, to be fair, I mean, I kind of completely understand it, because especially coming from myself, for a long time, I was like, why would you change anything about Quake? Especially because I grew up with it. It's like, you know, it's like almost like just, I couldn't see it as being anything other than what it was. And by the way, I know some people have a problem with the name of my mod that I chose. And that's mostly...
They do?
Yeah. And I didn't actually mean it to say that it's an upgrade of Quake. My original reasoning was because I liked how Quake 2's weapons were, and my weapons are more, feel more like something out of Quake 2. So it's like, it was almost like I was thinking, oh, it's like bridging the gap between these two games in terms of like looks a little bit or something like that. Obviously, nobody really got that except for like one person. So you could argue how effective that choice was, but I'm also terrible at naming things. So like, it's like whatever, the damage is done.
So you're telling me, Bloodshot, you're telling me that you didn't name it because you're like, my mod is so cool that it's 1.5. It's an upgrade to everything that's ever been. You're telling me that that's not the case.
No, that wasn't the case. I mean, like, especially like with the weapons pack, like, I think I wrote a description somewhere saying that it was supposed to, like, you know, be like Quake 2 stuff, but in Quake 1, because I saw some people play a Quake 2 weapons mod. Actually, that's actually why I started initially, like, a couple of years ago with just the weapons, because there was a Quake 2 weapons mod, and it was kind of cool to play with Quake 2 weapons in Quake 1, but whenever you would save the game, you couldn't load the game. Like, whoever coded the mod messed up something with the QC, so the save files would just get corrupted, at least in modern engines, so maybe it's not his fault.
Wow.
But yeah, so, like, I don't know, like, I guess also in response to the Quake Dads thing, it's like, you know, honestly, you like what you like, and if you don't like my mod, that's fine, too. Like, I'm not, like, an HD pack person either, so when I see people, like, saying, you know, Quake 1.5 doesn't work with my, you know, high-res texture skins, I'm just like, eh, but at the same
bummer.
Time, yeah, but at the same time, I understand, like, you know, people, there also is a community around that, too, like, which I tend to forget now, especially because the Quake 1 forums are kind of like, I can't even log in over there anymore. So, like,
you can.
I don't even know. Like, I tried to log in once, and as soon as you go change the page, it just logs me out. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'm not posting anything here.
That's how it is for me. I used to go there all the time, but
it's really sad that the demise of that, because there was so much information there, and it's tough to get at. It's still kind of there, but it's just hard to get at. So I hear you.
Yeah.
It's kind of unfortunate for the community, but that's cool. Yeah, I was delighted when I launched the mod. I'm like, ooh, crunchy pixels. How cool. This is great. So, yeah, I mean, and kudos on the mod, because, you know, I'm pretty kind of set in my ways, and in some ways even Arcane Dimensions to me didn't feel right. Like, I was like, eh, I like this, I like all this and this, but yeah, there it felt like in some ways it went too far. So what you've done is you've kind of got an amalgamation of things that you've created and taken from other mods and kind of put them together. And I will say, we've talked about this offline, but I was late to this interview because I was playing Quake 1.5 and I was trying to get through episode 2 and get to the boss battle, which I just had started that last map. But it's actually really fun, and it's a compelling way. It doesn't delete Quake off of your hard drive, you know, and I can't see why people are so like, actively being nasty about it. I just wish this community wasn't that way, but you know, like you say, some people are going to like it. Some people aren't going to like it. I want to make content for it. My thing is, I hope you get a chance to do a little bit of a dev kit type of thing or a document or something. So I can maybe remix one of my old maps for it or something. Cause it is fun. It's a blast. I mean, I'm enjoying it.
Thank you. And actually on that topic of the dev kit type thing, I actually have like an FGD I was making for it. It was obviously based on the Arcane Dimensions one, because I pulled a lot of things from that. And I also like because initially I was trying to make it make it support Arcane Dimensions, but then I realized that Sock, or I think Sock coded it, right?
Yeah. Partially, at least in part.
Yeah, but like he completely rewrote like how Quake functions, even like you know, like there's an entity state system and everything goes through that. Yeah. And like I started porting all that, then I'm like, this is gonna take me months like to backport all this stuff. So why not just remake the same things? So I ported some stuff and then I remade some of the AD stuff. But like
I was gonna ask you now, how does it work? So you can mix MDL and MD3s together, right? I mean, that's part of Dark Places.
Yeah, you could. I used MD3s for like the third person weapons, so they're pretty much like, because I saw somebody else, like they made third person weapons by making a player model with each weapon, which it's like, that's also gonna take way too much time. So I'm like, sure. I'm using Dark Places already, why not go all out with it? But on the topic of that, I'm also like Spike has actually been helping me get my mod working with FTE, and also generously telling me basically how badly I coded the mod for network play. So I've been
he's like that.
I'm glad he is, though, because it's really helpful, and it's like I'm like stripping out and like fixing the things that have been causing issues with that. So like it's gonna work on FTE soon-ish. I'm still working on that patch, but actually he updated his engine, so it should work kinda. But I have to fix a couple things on my end. Like one of the bosses I think crashes right now, and I'm not sure why yet. But I'm also like I was making a Gore mod, like that supports vanilla Quake, so like Quake Spasm and Mark V and stuff like that, because those engines don't have decals. So I'm like, well, let me see if I can make something that kind of functions like decals, and like, but it's really models. So I have that I'm making, which is going to be a base. It's going to be based on AD as like just like a Gore add-on, and then I'll have a version that has like it'll basically be the Quake Spasm version of my mod will be on Arcane Dimensions, because it pretty much like that's where most of the things are from. I just gotta add like all the other extra stuff I added, like the scripting stuff I added, which is, I mean, those are just drag and drop pretty much because they're their own isolated QC files anyway. But yeah, so it's gonna support more. So if you hate dark places, but you do want to try it, you'll be able to eventually.
That's great. Fan service, man. Give people options, and see which one is the most popular one. I think the response has been pretty spectacular. Let me see. I was just on mod database. I closed it, but it's been downloaded quite a few times, and it's pretty highly ranked on there. So, of course, I can't spell, but anyway. Well, tell me a little bit about what you added to the to gameplay. So because not everybody would know that you added kind of boss battles. I wasn't aware of that until I saw another video. And so just talk about some of the kind of get more in the weeds on the specifics of the mod.
Okay, so yeah, so basically, I went through with the source files that John Romero upgraded or uploaded rather to his website a while back, and I just started going through and adding stuff to the maps that I thought would maybe like maybe enhance the I don't want to say enhance, but like make it feel a little more like my thought process was, what if Quake was made a couple years later, like around the time of like Half-Life or Unreal, what might it look like, or what might they have put? Because like one of the things that I always found odd about Quake was how Doom had like bodies everywhere and like all this like gore and stuff like that, and Quake has a lot of gore, but it's like there's I don't think there's a single dead body in the game aside from those textures on DM1, I think. And so I'm just like, well, what if there's a little more of that stuff? And so I started adding some bodies, and then it kind of became like, well, what if I add little extras to the maps? Like for instance, E2M1 like has, or well, first I should probably talk about E1M1, but that has like, well, I added destructible light entities because why not? It's kind of fun, little Duke Nukem-ish, because I like interactivity. And I also added like one or two secrets to E1M1 that like you probably won't notice if you're just passing through, but if you really take a second to look, it's like, huh, there's actually something back there. And then like that kind of spitballed where I started editing like I added rain to E1M2. And I added scripting to E1M1 as well for like, showing soldiers dying and stuff, because again, like, because I like the Half-Life type show storytelling, but I don't think Quake really needs like, exposition or anything like that. And then the bosses are like, somebody was like, yeah, Quake, like somebody just, one of my friends on my friends list in Steam was just like, Quake's ending is really disappointing. And she had this idea for it. And I was like, that's an awesome idea. I don't know if I could do it, but let me see if I could make that. And so I just like that was the first one I started doing, because I started retooling the ending into being something like it's basically a new map, which I kind of want to like rip it out and make it an Arcane Dimensions release separately and like port everything to that. And then from there I'm like, well, episode 2 doesn't have a boss and neither does episode 3. So like I started off, I gave Kathan like stage based attacks, well, based on difficulty too. So it's like I think on normal, he has like one extra spin attack when he gets down to a certain level of health. Then on hard, he also has like this thing where he like flushes you out with like he summons something on the ground that shoots up flames. But the idea was kind of to make it like an actual boss battle instead of just being like this big lava man who just keeps throwing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously when it started off, it was way too hard because it's like, that was like the first thing I saw people complaining about. So I've toned that back. And I've also made normal difficulty more akin to classic Quake in the upcoming patch, because I've noticed people complaining about that too. But yeah, and then like, so then I'm like, well, I want to add new levels, but like, I want to add a boss level. And then E2M8, for instance, that's the, like that's that, the first new boss, which it's like a, basically a giant knight dude. But I'm like, well, I don't really know what people would find okay. And I know people aren't really, like, you know, like you said, like some people aren't even keen on Arcane Dimensions monster additions and stuff like that sometimes. So I'm like, well, what if I just make him a giant knight? And so like I kind of built a level around the idea of like building up to this, like fighting this guy in this chamber thing. So it's like you actually have to earn the rune instead of just like, oh, you fight, you know, a Vor or two.
right, exactly. Well, I'd looked at mod database. It has 8,700, almost 8,800 downloads. And just today, there's been 105 downloads. So, I mean, it's kind of fun to see. I think when I downloaded, I believe it was in the 4,000. So, I mean, and that wasn't very long ago, maybe a week ago, less than a week ago. Wow. So, yeah, maybe Thursday night even. That's really impressive, and it's great, and it's obviously people are responding to it. I kind of try to. There's probably other communities that I am not paying attention to, but I definitely pay attention to Reddit, Funk, obviously, and then my Discord as well, and it's definitely making some noise. So congratulations! I mean, if you'd have to call it a success. When people are talking about it and playing it and enjoying it, and you're seeing YouTubers like Eggman Lives, right? Or GG Man Lives.
Yeah, GG Man.
For some Eggman? Reason, I always see Egg when I see GG Man for some, whatever reason. New Egg, I'm thinking of, or something.
It could be because he has three G's, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like the word Egg. Let's see. And then Shambler made a kind of a crappy like little playthrough today. I wouldn't suggest you watch it if you haven't seen it. it was a little particular on, you know, why he didn't like it, but it's fine. He doesn't eviscerate it.
That's fine. I'm open to all forms of hate and criticism. Like, I mean honestly, like I actually sometimes like I prefer the hate, because sometimes I feel like people dress up their criticism to be too nice, like when they're trying to be nice, and it kind of like, right, some of the like their points get lost, whereas mm-hmm. someone who's just like, who has a valid reason to hate something, usually comes from a place of like genuine, well, I mean not always, but a lot of times
definitely
they
not always.
But I mean, like, it is like sometimes it does, it's like if a lot of people are saying your mod is like crap, and then like, well, they're not giving you a reason why, but it's like, if a lot of people are saying it, there's probably some truth to it, right?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I mean,
so I always just try to find like any kind of feedback I have, or like I'll even message people sometimes if they just give me a one word review and they never respond, but it's like, you know, hey, at least I tried to get some, you know, criticism from it.
Yeah. My favorite comments on YouTube videos I do are ones from people I don't even know, people who don't watch the channel. They just go, "This sucks." And that's it. I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks for the feedback. See you next time.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting to hear that you're working on more stuff, and it sounds like it's only just the beginning, because, you know, this was a beta, and can you give a hint besides some of the kind of under the hood things that you were talking about, especially FTE? I'm very excited. That's very cool. You know, that Spike's stepping up and helping you out. And so I mean, what are your kind of long-term kind of overall things for the mod? When will you feel that it's finished?
Well, I think the main thing is I want to make sure I actually fix the major problems with it. And like, I know you said like you don't really like dark places, and honestly, like with all the random problems people have been having, I've become that way myself from releasing mm-hmm. something for dark places. Mm-hmm. Because it's like it has these random problems for certain people that it's like I just cannot replicate on my end, or having the people I had test it, like they can't either. And it's so it's like really like, whereas other Quake engines, it's like you load the map and it works fine. Like I think all someone's right. having a problem where like I made a CTF mode, which obviously doesn't work yet because multiplayer doesn't work, but it works with bots, which I made bot support for it, which is unfinished as well because I don't really quite understand. It's based on FrickBot, and mm-hmm. I don't really like, I'm not really a coder. Like, I mean, I am kind of, but not really. So I don't really understand like everything I'm looking at because it's a lot of code to dig through. Mm-hmm. And so it's like people are like, I have a few people that are seeing CTF flags spawn in single player, and they're seeing the triggers, like they're seeing the textures and they're solid objects, which is like, I've never even heard of anything like that, you know, like a trigger appearing.
And these are things
like,
you can't like replicate these. You're just kind of cropping up.
Yeah. They've just like kind of come up out of nowhere. So I'm hoping like, cause I've been adding a few more people to like, you know, my testing group. I'm hoping I can, you know, get these people in and maybe figure out what's going on, or worst case, you know, like the FTE version or the Quake Spasm version will be like the option if either you hate dark places or, you know, it just can't get around those bugs and I can't find a fix for them. Or maybe I can remove CTF.
I think one benefit for FTE is that, you know, it's in constant development. And I know that Dark Places is as well, which is I just found out about. It's pretty much still in development too. But FTE, you can go directly to the source and he will help you. And he's very generous with his time, as you know. And, you know, so at least it's just one more option if you do want to have some of those kind of visual effects that you can't do in a normal NatQuake engine. So, I mean, I think it's great news. But I will say just I mentioned Shambler's video. He had something displaying where those lights that you have, those red lights that's kind of siren lights in EM1 Episode 1, Map 1, it was projecting some kind of weird little thing on the wall. And I didn't have that in mine. I was like, well, mine looks normal. Looks fine. So I can see why you could be like, well, what's causing that? You know, it's got to be a driver thing, I guess. But
well, actually, I think I know what that is because Spike told me. Because
I see.
Yeah, like I made a bunch of like glows for the lights, and like I didn't realize that the specular value for them was still left on. So if you have like a glow option above one in the dark places settings for some reason, you'll see specular reflections on things from those lights that produce no light, even if you're not playing in real-time mode, because I had to do a hacky way, like basically force them on in normal mode and take away the actual light to get coronas like that to work in dark places. But yeah, so that I'm working on fixing that for the next patch at least, and that should help performance too, because you know it's calculating lighting for reflections in the background, which is gonna, you know, affect a lot of computers pretty negatively. So
interesting. Yeah, I changed one thing. I think I changed the grenade, which is odd, very odd. I didn't get any grenades. This whole playthrough this morning or this afternoon, I didn't get one grenade. I mean, I kept trying to fire. I'm like, well, wait, I don't know. I have zero grenades. So I don't know. That's what's going on with that.
Yeah, I've seen a few people mention that. I think I made it randomized and they only drop from backpacks or enforcers, or well, rather defenders, because they shoot proximity grenades, which I know people have problem with that difficulty wise too, because it's kind of annoying. But they drop randomly from those guys, and if you miss them in the first map of the episode, if there's not a red armor that gets replaced with a backpack, because that's what I, that's the system I put in, then you're kind of screwed on grenades.
That makes sense, because I only played, episode two today. So and there's very few enforcer. They're in there, but they're across the way shooting at you, so you don't encounter them right away. So if they timed out, which I don't know if they time out or not, I wouldn't have got them anyway. So, so that's cool. No big deal. I'm still enjoying it. I will say the ogres do not miss, man. You know, I've had to quick load so many times of freaking ogres. Like I'm, you know, kind of cheesing them around the corner, and boom, here's comes like a grenade just right around the corner. It's like, wow, this is crazy.
That's actually I turned that off for normal mode for the next patch, because I realized, like, I kind of also like I play a lot of Quake Champions lately, and with my friend especially in like the dual and 2v2 modes, and I realized I kind of, like, I don't know, like, I really like the, you know, the strafe jumping and the movement, but I realize most people don't play Quake that way, so it's not really, like, and especially because Quake is so cramped, too, it's, like, some areas it's just really, like, you're gonna get pummeled constantly, which I guess, because while I'm testing, like, most of my testing, I only recently started having other people test, like, most of my testing was done, like, hey, it's a mod on my computer, I'm gonna run through the campaign, which I don't do every day, so it's like I probably didn't take that into consideration too, that, like, you know, like I didn't test every single level to see, like, hey, this is, like, you know, this is kind of BS, like a lot of people are gonna, you know, rage at this because it's not really fair.
It was definitely more it was more difficult than I was expecting, and I quick save and quick loaded a lot, but you know, I do want to say it's a pretty exhilarating way to play, and it's been a while since I've played through the campaign, so it's kind of fun to play a whole new way. And I never did that with Arcane Dimensions. I know you can, but I never tried that, so it's kind of fun. It's kind of good. And one source of confusion I'm seeing on Reddit a lot is that people are asking, well, why can't I play this mod? Like, why can't I play Arcane Dimensions with this? And they're like, no, it's a mod, dude. You cannot play this. So what about compatibility? In other words, the maps that are included are basically what you can play at this point, correct?
Yeah, but I'm also, for people who like the weapons, I'm going to have, like, just like a model pack, so you could just plop it in like Quake Spasm or whatever your engine of choice is, and just run Arcane Dimensions with that. And also, like, with, as I said, the gore mod, it's called Quetchup right now, because somebody on when I showed it off on, I think it was Terrafusion Discord, somebody said that as a joke, and I'm like, that's better than anything I could come up with, so I'll take that.
Oh gosh, okay. Quetchup.
Yeah, and so, like, that'll be like an option if you want to play Arcane Dimensions with the weapons and some, you know, enhanced gore. I mean, it won't have, like, you know, the death animations or like blowing ogres in half or knights in half or anything like that, but it's pretty bloody, so I think it'll be a good alternative.
With all your work done on Quake 1.5, is this sort of what has led you to start working with 3D Realms on the super secret Quake project that's going on?
I was wondering when that would come up. I would say it's definitely, well, I don't know 100% for sure if that was the only, if that was like the major factor, but I know it was definitely a factor. But I think it's also the fact that I had like I had plenty of map releases now at this point, because, like, that's primarily what they were looking for. So I'm going to be mostly doing level design, although there are other things, you know, depending on what they need. But yeah, so right. It's like, I'm sorry, what?
No, they get a great, because, I mean, if you do need to do modeling, but you've really got the chops, obviously. So it's cool. It's a win-win. So whether it's levels or models or both. So that's cool.
It's also kind of funny because, like, before I applied for that, I was just playing through the preview campaign for Ion Maiden, and like literally like a day before I saw that post and I applied, I was just thinking, like, man, this is so, like, good. Like, I don't know, just, I mean, I know it's like a new thing, and it's like, I know I work for 3D Realms now, so you could take my opinion with a grain of salt, but like, I really feel like it's like one of the best build games I've played, and I've only played like a 3-level demo.
Wow.
So I just thought that was funny after I was like playing through that like again, that now all of a sudden now I'm working with them, which is kind of cool for me.
No, definitely. And I've heard that from several people too, not just people at 3D Realms, but many, many, many people saying that Iron Maiden is just this awesome game, and I still got to get to it myself. So,
I mean, I would recommend it. It's, if you liked Duke 3D, if you like Blood, or what was the other build games? I can't
Shadow even... Warrior?
Yeah, Shadow Warrior. Like, it's definitely would be something you would like, and it's like, it's not obviously quite like Quake because it's much more realistic in the level design department especially, but it's like, I also like how it's like the enemies are, their weapons are projectile based, so unlike Duke 3D with a lot of enemies, you can actually dodge their shots, which is like a little more, you know, like it works towards the Quaker in me too.
Yeah, that's on my two playlist, and I want to sit down and really experience it you know, the right way. So I saw some videos on that, and I was pretty floored by the level of detail that they're getting into that game. But it still feels like you're playing something from 97, but they've added so much to it. Just little tiny things that all add up. It's very cool. And that's kind of the same thing with, you know, with your mod. So it's good, you know, you're in good company, man.
Well, thank you. I feel like it too.
See, I got one more question for you, Bloodshot. I was curious because a lot of times in the Quake community, you'll notice a lot of people, they kind of do one or the other. You know, they'll either build models, or they'll either program, or they'll either, you know, design levels or whatever. But you seem to do kind of like the whole thing. You're sort of a jack of all trades. So is there one thing that stands out to you out of all those things that you really prefer over the others?
Well, it's kind of hard to pick because like I usually prefer levels because it's like, unlike like with modeling, for instance, like I'm not really a big fan of unwrapping a model and texturing it because I'm not the best at those things. Or like with coding, for instance, I definitely enjoy coding, but I'm not a fan of all the, you know, the minor bugs and glitches that can just pop up out of nowhere. It's like, you know, right, like the classic coding conundrum of you fix one problem and then four other problems pop up from the one you fixed. So like, I'd say like even though I enjoy all of them, it depends on my mood. Mapping is probably like, it's like my happy place because it's like, I can just work on that. And it's like, I don't have to worry about unwrapping a model. I don't have to worry about, like, I mean, you still have to worry about fixing bugs with maps and stuff like that, but it's like, it never feels like, you know, like I never feel like I hit a wall unless I don't have an idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say mapping.
Okay, awesome.
I liked how you called it your happy place. That put a that put a smile on my face. We all need a happy place.
Of course. It's a happy place in the Brown universe. This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for DumpTruck_DS. Well, RC, you have any other questions before we get into the big monkey in the room? The elephant in the room?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have other things he could chat about too.
The monkey in the room. What is wrong with
the
me?
Monkey? I was going to let it slide, but you wanted to.
You know, I think the only monkey in the room is myself. I think I got it covered.
I feel like Dump Truck is not himself today.
I don't know. I feel like... what the hell's wrong with
maybe,
me?
Maybe he's starstruck.
Maybe. You got Bloodshot here.
Yeah.
Who's, yeah. He's giddy. Giddy like a schoolgirl.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, it's just no, you're fine, dude. I'm just busting you a little bit.
I deserve it.
All right, Dump Truck. I know you're busting at the seams here to ask about it.
I'm keeping my mouth shut, man.
Okay. I'm going to open the cage and go.
Okay, there's so much to talk about with Quake 1.5, and